Add it with the Diligent Defense green hoodie black hat combo I see. Like, it's, is that what you've worn on the last ones?
Potentially.
Pretty sure. What are we talking about today? So,
today is all about predator hunting shotguns.
Is it? Is it? Is it in a certain format?
It's time. You mean like 12 minutes off?
Yeah, I just couldn't tell. There's no timer on your desk. So.
We need the hourglass, and you're gonna time it out to where there's 12 minutes worth of sand.
Grain, yeah, grain by grain, make an hourglass apparently.
No, it's time to talk about shotguns. So, which is really going to lead us into our next podcast, which you're going to have to wait. It's a full podcast. But this 12-minute talk, I'm just going to dive into predator hunting shotguns, like what to do, what to look for, all that jazz. It's really only 12 minutes worth of talking. I'm sure people will be like, it's not enough. But it's fine. Are you going to start a timer?
I guess it would help, wouldn't it?
It potentially would.
All right, so predator hunting shotguns. You got 12 minutes on the clock. And go.
So where I would start first is what type of shotgun? Semi-automatic or pump action? For most predator hunters, I'd recommend a pump action just because it requires less maintenance. That's just my opinion. There are some pretty good semi-autos nowadays. I'm going to say in the past, almost every semi-auto, I was not regimented enough in my cleaning routine to keep them going always. That's all of them. Semi-automatic is always going to require more cleaning to stay functional than a pump action. Pump action literally just... this one here rode in the back of a pickup for a long time, and I would literally just WD-40 it every once in a while. Whereas semi-auto, like, you are going to have to clean it and take care of it. Or it's eventually going to malfunction and, you know, hurt you during a stand. But anyways, couple considerations, barrel length, all that kind of stuff. We're not going to get, like, super deep into this because there's a whole talk you can have about force cone and all that stuff. Sending them off to certain places that'll lengthen the force cone or hone it and all that stuff. We'll save that for a different day. Maybe one of these days we'll get like one of those guys in here to talk about, like someone who's more serious about it or someone who does it for a living, like the work to the shotguns, porting and all that stuff. We're not going to dive off in that. We're just going to talk about like the key tenets of shotgunning coyotes. Barrel length is a consideration you should take very deeply. I tend to like 26 inch and longer barrels because when I commit to a shotgun, I'm going to stay on the shotgun. Meaning once I pick it up, I'm going to stay on it. It doesn't matter how far it is. I'm going to take that shot. Now the force cone, which is inside here, which is basically the first breakdown, or I guess you would call it the breakdown, like the first choke down spot of the shot itself. If that is too short or too abrupt, what will happen is a lot of times the shot will slap together, but it's kind of restricted down the barrel. Like it can't go too crazy. But if you have all this like force down, and then if you're running a super tight choke, it forces it down again. The potential is there for the shot to scatter more when it comes out of the barrel. Now, nowadays, a lot of your coyote hunting specific loads will have stuff, and it appears like it's, I don't remember what the stuff is, like a salt or a glass bead type media in the shot that's supposed to help with it not slapping together and deforming, because typically most of your shot is like a lead consistency. Get into that here in just a minute. But like I said, 26 inch barrel or longer, if you want to go like super crazy with it, it's going to give you, theoretically, it's going to give you more extended ranges. Now, yes, it is. Today, nowadays, there's like lots of 18-inch barreled shotguns, and it is like you'll want to carry something a lot shorter, especially if you put a salvo on the end of it, which in the long configuration is like a loaf of freaking bread. But through lots and lots of testing, like your range is dramatically reduced on shorter barreled shotguns, and that's, you know, kind of depends on where you're hunting. Like if you're hunting all super tight close quarter stuff and you're only sitting right on top of the call, then maybe that 18-inch barreled shotgun is going to be just fine for you. But if you're like hunting open country like we live in, even in shotgun territory, my shots still could potentially be much further. I'm going to run at least 26-inch. But, you know, the idea of this, just like everything else in predator hunting, when it involves shooting and ammo and everything else, is testing. Like, you need to do a lot of pattern testing. Now, before we get to pattern testing, let's talk about chokes for a minute. Most time, your shotgun is going to come with factory chokes. Test those with the preferred shotgun load that you want to run whilst coyote hunting. Before you go buying any of the aftermarket chokes or anything like that, just test the chokes you have. You may find that something that you already have is more than suitable. Now, there are companies like Carlson's and others that make coyote hunting specific chokes that are going to be for certain loads and everything else. Do your research, read up on it. That could be its own whole podcast, like certain shot for certain chokes and the testing and everything else. But do your reading, do some testing, do some pattern testing. And by pattern testing, I mean get some different shotgun shells you intend on running, whether it be a lead shot, a Hornady's nickel plated or copper plated, or the TSS, the tungsten stuff, whatever you intend on using. Do some pattern testing at like 30 yards and shoot a large poster board or piece of butcher paper, whatever. What the idea of this is to see how it patterns with that choke and shot combo and how the shotgun shoots with you behind it. Because a lot of people find that like it'll impact high or it'll impact left. And there's, you know, maybe we get Aaron back in here to talk about really fitting a shotgun to your person, because you can like angle the stock slightly and all this other stuff. But pattern test first and then practice. Once you find something that shoots a reasonable pattern, in myself, I'm looking for the smallest group possible at 30 yards. Like, I want within an 8-inch pattern, whether it be double lot, triple lot, four buck, T-shot, all that other stuff. I want at least an 8-inch pattern at 30 yards. And I want it pretty tight, like not just scattered past beyond 8 inches, but most of it's in 8 inches. I want it all in the 8 inches. Like, I want to have to aim it like a rifle at 30 yards. Like, I want it that tight, because that's what it's going to give you is maximum payload on target, and it's going to get you out further ranges. Because, I mean, your deviation starts to spread the further you go. So, again, once you commit to the shotgun, you're committed to the shotgun. So, moving past that, we've pattern tested, then practice. You must practice with your firearm. That goes for anything, especially with shotguns, because most people, shotguns are pretty heavy recoiling, especially if you run 12 gauge, which I recommend you do for coyotes. Pretty heavy recoiling. If you want to be surgical with it, you need to practice with it. That's across the board. And then learn what the maximum range is for your pattern with your shotgun ammo and everything else. Like, you're just gonna practice sitting down as you would be predator hunting, practice out of a rack as you would predator hunting. Like, just, you need to practice, and it might do you some good to find a cheaper load that patterns just as well as the stuff. Like, say if you're gonna hunt with tungsten, it's gonna be very expensive to practice with the tungsten shot. You can find some lead shot, and this comes down to like lots of pattern testing. If you find something that patterns the same or close enough to it, practice with the lead shot, hunt with the tungsten. Or even when you're hunting, you can stagger load them to where it's like tungsten, lead, tungsten, lead. Because like maybe your follow-up shot can be cheaper in price. Because like nowadays, especially nowadays, the tungsten shot hurts your pocketbook when you pull that trigger. Like it's awful. And be very aware, if you're running one of those very inexpensive semi-auto platforms, tungsten loads will basically rattle that submage apart. Because again, tungsten's more dense than lead, and it's going to be more impactful on the shotgun itself. I've literally seen the cheap semi-autos literally fall apart while fox hunting using tungsten shot. Let's see. Optics, I recommend a red dot, and I recommend a red dot with a circle in it, because a lot of times if you find the right one, like some of Holosun stuff, and I don't remember the exact ring size, it's going to be very close to what your pattern size you're looking for in that amplifies out the range, say like 30 yards, it's this much of a pattern, covers up like an 8-inch surface or whatever. As that goes out further, that ring stays the same size on your optic, but the distance, is that, am I explaining that properly? I don't know how to really explain it. Like it, as you go down, that ring is going to be like the size of the pattern on the animal. That's why I really like red dots, and I really like the hollow suns and stuff like that with the ring around it.
Yeah.
I will say this. I have a, I had a, I tried an older EOTech on, is this M4? Yeah.
Yeah, but M4.
I tried an older EOTech on that, and it would not handle the recoil. It would constantly shut off. And I found that to be the case.
Was it the older one with a battery? Yeah. Yeah.
I found that to be a case on a few red dots, and I can't remember. I used to have a list. I used to keep extreme amounts of data on the shotgun stuff, and you'll find out in the podcast Wednesday why I don't anymore. But a lot of red dots, especially then when red dots were really first kind of getting heavy, like the cheap ones on the scene, a lot of them would withstand like the constant abuse from a shotgun. But nowadays, probably much better. But I would highly recommend one, especially when you start getting nerding out on this stuff, getting into it as much as you need to be proficient with it. I find it very handy to run that red dot, especially when you start patterning your shotguns down to the point of like you want maximum effective range. Because like I said, you're going to be aiming it almost like a rifle at 30 yards and closer because the pattern is going to be so small, which is, in my opinion, what you want. For like, once I commit to the shotgun, I'm committed to the shotgun. If I want to have to shoot 90 yards with shotgun, I want to know, like, at least I want to have an idea of what that pattern looks like at 90 yards. But that's just me. How are we looking on time?
What's the thing?
I was going to say, I seen it, baby, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that 12 minutes went by. Did it get messed up?
No, I was going to let you, I have an estimate of where we're about 11 minutes right now.
Roughly. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, the timer went to 7 seconds and then just destroyed itself. So I was going to let you go about 12 minutes and then interrupt you.
So, I mean, before we wrap this up, if you have questions, drop down below. If you want a full podcast, we can probably get into the full podcast. Like, there's a lot of information, and if you're on TPH on Facebook, go look for the shotgun post I've been having for years, because there's tons of data and everything else in there. Like, if you're still in a shotgun, and go look for the information. It's there. Before we wrap this up, I want to talk about the salvo.
Yeah, go ahead.
While it may look cool, not my favorite thing at all. Now, that could be its own trumpet talk, talking about salvo suppressor alone. But I will say this, like, essentially what you have is you have a choke in the end of the barrel. That's your attachment device for the salvo, is your choke. And then once it goes into the suppressor, it has the room to open up, and then it has to choke back down to get out the end of the salvo, which ends up happening is it strips the wad warily, and then, like, what you end up with this scenario is, that was the last time I ran the shotgun. I was running salvo, is one shot was perfect. Next one looked like I just threw out a handful of BBs because it stripped the wad prematurely. They require lots of cleaning. And then at the end of the day, they're still not that great. What was that company that just came out with a new shotgun suppressor?
Is it JK Armament?
I'm interested to see that because, yeah, I watched a bunch of videos about it, how they did the choke and everything else. Seems like a far better design than this, but at the end of the day, it's a shotgun. I mean, even this big old boy is like, you're thinking like it might be super impressive, but it's really not.
It has cool factor. It's, yes, more of a range thing.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah,
but that's about it. Because I mean, at the end of the day, like, especially when I was running on the end of this one, like, you're putting it on the end of a 26, 28 inch barrel in a full configuration. It's like, it's ridiculous.
I really like the 6-inch configuration on the, yes, on the M4. That was always my favorite.
It makes it much more wieldy. Yeah. It does. Now, I will say this about the salvo. It does tame recoil a bunch. I mean, alone on its weight and everything else, like, that's going to help you more than anything. But yes, it is. In my opinion, it's not that great of a suppressor, but it is a suppressor nonetheless. It does add weight. It does add length. But it's not that It's just not that great for anybody who's going to like seriously shotgun a bunch of coyotes. And what this can do is open up a ton of land. Like there are tons of, I guess it would be federal or government type lands that you aren't allowed to run lead shot. So, but you can run like tungsten and everything else, and you can shotgun hunt. Check your local places like core land and everything else. Talk to the game warden. Like back in the day, it got me permission to hunt a ton of acreage because I would hunt with a shotgun and I did run the tungsten loads and everything else. Real quick before we go, one last thing. Recommendation on shotgun ammo. Anything that patterns good that's made out of tungsten. Tungsten is more dense than lead and it will literally anchor a coyote like better than lead any day of the week. But caveat, if it patterns well, like I would rather have a 2 3/4 inch double lot that patterns really well as opposed to like a 3 inch double lot tungsten that doesn't pattern well. Does that make sense? And I guess that's where I'd probably wrap this up.
12 minute ish talk.
Yeah, ish. Unless you had something to add.
No. I think we'll leave it as is.
Be looking for Wednesday's podcast, folks, because it's going to be an extension of this podcast. We're going to play a little bit of Devil's Advocate. And that's it.
This is very uneventful.
What did you want from me? It's 12 minute talk that you couldn't even track the time.
I don't know how it...
It said enough. Enough of the shotguns. They're old. Blech.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we'll see you next time.